Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
In your my favorite youth, like a drop top sports car rooftop view. Let's go down to the boulevard and we'll play it cool. And life shouldn't be so hard like them days after school.
You're welcome to the IDP show. I'm your host, Josh Schramer, joined in the Soad Shack tonight. On my right, Adam Markham. On my left, Bobby Reynolds. Gentlemen, how are we this evening?
Doing very well, Josh. Good to see you again, my friend.
I know. I feel like I just saw you about 7 hours ago.
You sure did. Looking even better now.
Thank you. I do feel like I've had a great day looks-wise, Bobbo.
Yeah. You're turning a corner.
I'm glowing.
You are.
I got a new skincare regimen. I'm feeling great.
Okay.
It's just washing my face. That's it. That's the extent of it.
Potential ad people?
Yeah. The lotion that I use from Walmart, they want to sponsor us.
Jergens.
There we go. Yeah. I was struggling to think of a lotion brand. Stuff. All I could think of was Manscaped and Dr. Squatch. And I don't think they do men's face lotion.
They should.
They should. That's a great market for them to get into. Mm-hmm. Bobbo, how are you, man?
I'm good. It's good to be back.
Good to have you back.
Oh, I pissed a kidney stone. That was
fun.
Right.
That's true, yeah.
That's right. That's why you missed one of those
Welcome
weeks.
To adulthood.
Yeah, wow, 35.
I've never done that, man. Was that pretty tough? Is that your first one?
We'll have a separate discussion another day.
That'll be the kidney stone podcast coming in February.
35, hello.
And a man who hopefully knows not a lot or nothing about, nothing about kidney stones, joining us from Football Guys, Tripp. Tripp, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. I didn't realize we were going to start off the Patreon piece right off the beginning here with the cussing and the cutting up.
That's how we do. That's how we get right into it.
You're right. I've missed that. I missed out on that entirely. But I'm glad to be here. It's always fun to get on and talk football with y'all. And I appreciate the invitation. Right now, I'm just in the middle of being on the clock and my Autism Speaks Invitational Draft. So we're out there. Contributing a few bucks for a good cause and playing a little football will do it.
There you go, Bobbo. You love to see it.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's a joke's on you, Tripp, because we're not talking football tonight. You're actually just going to read us poetry for
That's right. If it were up to Bobbo, you would just read like Christmas stories and we'd get like a crackling fire sound effect
going.
See who
falls asleep first.
It would be Bobby. Trust me.
Miss my call. I could read children's books and make money or something.
Truly could.
You had the All 22 guys really hyped up.
Bobby Acker from the All 22 was a big fan.
Yeah, they really like
Tripp's
you, man.
Voice.
They're
Your
really,
strategy,
they're
not
really
so much. Sandwich you. Yeah.
It was getting uncomfortable. Yeah. Honestly, it really was. But he was just going on and on and on
we
about
had to
your
cut
voice.
A lot of it.
We
yeah.
did have to cut a lot
of it. We cut
out,
about 3 minutes of him pontificating. Yeah.
I would really enjoy Tripp's voice in like a narrative type, like Lord of the Rings movie.
There we go.
Be
Love
pretty
that.
Awesome. You
like
know?
A voiceover type
if
of thing.
There's like another Hobbit 2.0.
I want him at the airport because everyone's really stressed out at the airport, you know, just like, hey, everybody, it's Tripp here.
Josh is
We're
going
to put our bags through security. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to get you where you need to be.
That would lower your stress levels
right?
for sure.
Yeah. It would definitely. You could feel the tension like go out of your shoulders.
When was the last time you were in the airport?
Probably honeymoon.
Oh, my gosh. Adam, you have to get outside of your house and golf course.
I don't think so.
Who needs to go anywhere else?
World's in a bad spot right now, Josh.
When you can just golf and stay home.
Sure.
But we're happy to have you guys.
We got everything I need here.
That's right. Park Mammoth right up
Chicken
the road.
City?
I did
Chicken
laugh
City.
At your, I didn't pay attention to it while we were recording, but afterwards your bingo card, if you said, if any of you all have a golf and chicken tenders on your bingo card, you can go ahead and select
That's right.
Scratch that off now. If you had me being somewhere. Interrupted trying to set up the show on your bingo card, scratch that off as well, because here we are. But looking forward to this. We've got a lot of really good names, Tripp. You always bring some really interesting folks to the forefront here, and that's what we appreciate. And I saw a couple names from the IDP draft kit as well, Tripp. So thank you for referencing that fine product here.
Well, glad to do it.
Y'all folks, make sure you pick up a copy. TheIDPDraftKit.com, Labor Day weekend, the most popular draft weekend of the year. So get you a copy of the IDP draft kit and dominate your drafts. But Tripp, we're going to start in the AFC West. That is the division that you have prepped for us. So why don't you go ahead and kick us off with the Las Vegas Raiders and a player that is close to a lot of IDP managers' hearts, but you're saying, hold up, pump the brakes. Maybe we need to recalibrate what we think of this player going into 2022. Who is your first guy?
Well, first guy I thought we'd talk about is Denzel Perryman. And I was quite blown away a couple days ago to realize that he was projected to finish with more fantasy points than any other linebacker by ProFootballFocus.com in their projections. And I'm just not there. I'm in a pretty different place on Denzel Perryman. He's a player that I've liked for a long time. He's a guy that plays with, you know, head of steam and has the attitude and character to go with it. But he is also a guy that's never played full-time in his career. He's played most of his career with Gus Bradley, but he also has had a couple of other defensive coordinators, John Pagano in his rookie year, and very briefly, Phil Snow in Carolina last summer. And then he inexplicably got traded. He couldn't seem to get on the field and practice. So like he wasn't healthy, and he got traded back to the Raiders with Gus Bradley, because Gus Bradley had jumped from the Chargers to the Raiders as DC. And he played 83% of the snaps last year for Gus Bradley, put up a huge tackle rate, 18% roughly, which is kind of what he had done for many years, actually, with Gus Bradley in his tenure. So now he has another defensive coordinator. A couple things. First, I can't really imagine that if four other defensive coordinators didn't think he was a full-time player, that this new one, Patrick Graham, would at going into age 30. That strikes me as odd. The second thing is I really believe that tackle rates have more to do with scheme than player. So I don't think that Denzel Perryman can carry an 18% tackle rate with him from year over year. And so given those two things together, I really struggle to see how he's going to get anywhere near number one or even top 20 in my mind. If maybe he plays 83% of the snaps, but if we look at who he might be comped to over the last couple of defenses that Patrick Graham has coached, the high side would be Blake Martinez, which would be really good if he played like Blake Martinez did in 2020. The low side is that he would be like a Landon Roberts was in 2019 with the Miami Dolphins. And I think that Denzel Perryman, and you've got like athletic profile, production, ability, coverage grades, all this others. He looks to me more like a Landon Roberts than Blake Martinez. Maybe that's a hot take, but I'll take Blake Martinez 10 times out of 10 over Denzel Perryman. So interesting guy. I even had his agent respond to me on Twitter one time after I said something bad about him. So I wish it well. I think he might be a great second linebacker from Las Vegas, but I think he's more of a deep league ad, and at cost, there's no way I'll have him on any rosters.
What'd you tell his agent, Tripp?
I don't remember anymore.
That is amazing. I don't think I've had any agents reach out to me. Bobby, tell me if you've had the same experience. I've been staring down Denzel Perryman and some of these IDP-only best balls we've been doing, and I'm just not interested. I know that for what he did last year, we're thankful. It's like, thank you for your service. But I'd much rather take a late flyer on Divine Diablo or Jayon Brown than pay the sticker price for Denzel Perryman.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe I'm seeing a little bit of the opposite. I don't think Denzel Perryman goes very high in either redraft leagues or in some of these best balls. Now, Dynasty, I think we all know to stay away from him. I mean, unless you're a contender, if you can grab a Perryman and maybe see if he's going to compete for you for like an LB2, LB3 spot this year, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, you're right, man. That's about where, I mean, he's not being, over, well, at least in the leagues that we're in, right? Mm-hmm. We're in leagues with a bunch of people that basically do this stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a reason why. I mean, maybe in your more casual leagues, people are just sorting by tackles from last year, right? And I bet Denzel Perryman has probably a higher ADP. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, I've been fading him. Like Tripp mentioned, like his tackle efficiency is no joke. He's like I have the career numbers over here, 16.1% for his career.
Wow.
I mean, so and also
well above average.
But also keep in mind that like he did miss a lot of time. Like Denzel Perryman's career, like he hasn't got a lot of snaps like for how many years he's been playing just because he gets hurt a lot. Yeah. You know? But still good tackle efficiency either way.
I was thinking about this the other day, too. I have a home league draft coming up, and it's just redraft. But a couple years back, it's probably been 5 or 6 years ago, we implemented 2 IDP spots on every roster, which is kind of interesting. You know, we don't always have full-on DT cornerback leagues. But I thought, I was like, man, Perryman is a guy who's going to get – he's going to be a top 5 guy drafted in a league like that.
Absolutely.
People are going to go back from last year, look and see how many double-digit tackle games he had. He's going to be an easy addition. But I agree with you, Tripp. Perryman's a fade, but for me, only to a point to where I'm like, okay,
yeah,
that's enough.
I'm not saying I wouldn't take him in any context, but he would have to fall pretty far.
And again, like we mentioned kind of with Jace, like even though he is probably going like linebacker 25-30, there still are linebackers I like a lot more in his range.
Yeah.
Matt Milano's, David Long's, Josie Jules. Give me all those guys over Denzel Perryman for 2022.
Yeah, so Denzel Perryman, bust, but you have a nice breakout here, and it is a IDP draft kit special, and this is what we love Tripp for, because he brings these names to the forefront that maybe we wouldn't normally be thinking about. Who's the next guy for the Raiders you want to discuss, Tripp?
Yeah, this next guy, his name's Bilal Nichols. I'm guessing that a lot of people listen like, who? So yeah, it's a bit of a hot take, I realize. The way I play IDP is I don't ever land studs because I'm always drafted offense. And so I'm always looking for guys that I can get inexpensively. And Bilal Nichols really sets up into a really interesting position on the same defense that Denzel Perryman plays for with Patrick Graham. And the reason why is because Patrick Graham has a history of playing a little bit differently than the Raiders have in the past. And they brought in Bilal Nichols. He is the only kind of designated interior disruptor profile type player that they have on their roster. All their other defensive tackles are just bigs. And then they got the stud pass rushers and Max Crosby and Chandler Jones on the edge. So I think that Bilal Nichols, first of all, sets up to take a big chunk of snaps. They brought him in on a free agent contract where he's like $11 million over 2 years. Not huge money, but decent money. They come in and play this featured disruptor. And what's really interesting is when you look at the history of Patrick Graham's defenses and the similar type defenses coming out of the Patriots Belichick type tree, you see some huge numbers from this particular position. Most recently, of course, Leonard Williams over the last 2 years with the Giants. He's got about 17 sacks over the last 2 years, and he put up 89 tackles last year, so roughly 74 the year prior. Now, that would be, you know, shooting for the moon to expect Bilal Nichols to put up all that kind of numbers. But even if he puts up 2/3 of that, he's still highly relevant in a DT required league. And if he can put up 80% of it, he's on the radar for DL leagues. So I think that's really, he's a guy that really sets up in a good spot. Another type of a player that's in that same vein in Miami with Christian Wilkins, who put up huge numbers last year.
Yeah.
Now, again, Bilal Nichols is not anywhere near the talent that Christian Wilkins was, but the deployment could be similar. Now, from a talent perspective, Bilal Nichols, I thought, looked pretty good in 2020. And last year, he didn't quite look as good. The Bears had a really weird year last year. They got really poorly graded by a lot of metrics, but they didn't have any trouble getting sacks. And they didn't have too much trouble getting off the field either. So they must have been doing something right. And I think Bilal Nichols was an interesting piece of that. He's a guy that has more athleticism than Leonard Williams, who's a former number 6 overall pick. He's a guy that can play either inside or outside. And I think that he'll have that opportunity and really have a good opportunity to pile up some stats doing it. So he's a guy that costs nothing that really could be relevant in a position that's difficult to hit on.
Now, Tripp, I always like to contextualize this, right? Because I think for our listeners, you know, a breakout for Bilal Nichols, what could that look like? Like, what's a realistic picture to paint here? So let's say this is a D-tackle required league. We all play in these types of leagues. Are we looking at potential top 12, maybe like a rotational piece that kind of you play based on matchups? Like, what's your optimistic outlook for this guy?
I think that he could pretty comfortably finish inside the top 12. I think he's a guy that should be comfortable getting in there, leading in there every week. Now, if you're in a DL league and you don't have a D2 required, I mean, yeah, it might be just more of a matchup guy. But for D2 required leagues, I feel comfortable that he's a guy that has a high chance of being a set and forget at the position.
It feels almost a little bit like tight end Bobo, where if you don't grab one of the stud guys early, the Aaron Donalds, the Chris Joneses, the Cam Haywards, the Jeffrey Simmons, DeForest Buckner, maybe you just punt and grab a Bilal Nichols in like one of the last rounds of your draft.
Yeah, I love that. You know, 63 pressures in the last two seasons is the 27th among all defensive line interiors in the NFL. So Tripp's right on. And you know there's going to be opportunity. Chandler Jones is gone. Carl Nassib is gone. I don't know what else is gone from the interior there in Las Vegas. But he's going to play a lot of snaps, I feel like. And man, I love D-tackles. I love finding a good D-tackle. And a good little reference there for Christian Wilkins, another guy who I think is kind of slept on for especially the tackles that he produces. Not always a big sack guy, but has a great floor.
We'll talk about him a little bit later.
I think to add on, I think the tight end reference is exactly right. I wrote an article about 3 years ago for Dynasty Football Factory. And if you track that, you get the y'all were saying there's this designated kind of featured player in these defenses, the same way there is a featured pass catcher on a tight end position. And then after that, it's just the wilderness. And so finding that guy out of the wilderness makes a big difference in your weekly lineup. So I think that's a great reference.
Aaron Donald is Travis Kelce.
Exactly.
I mean, essentially, if you're going into your IDP only drafts, whatever it might be, if you've got a D tackle spot specifically, take Aaron Donald as high as you want to, really. I like Kelce in offensive drafts in the first round. Why would you not like Aaron Donald in the first round?
Adam's taking him in the first round of our IDP only best ball drafts. Yep. So,
and even in D-line leagues, Donald's still top five.
He's a top five option in DL leagues, even as a D tackle.
Top six pick, in my opinion.
And, you know, the other part of that reference, too, is right, Josh, in that, you know, I just traded a ton for Isaiah Likely in our main league, and it's so hard to find that next good tight end, that next George Kittle or, you know, Kyle Pitts, whoever it would be. It's hard to find that next Aaron Donald, DeForest Buckner, you know, Cam Hayward. Those guys don't grow on trees. Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah.
Jarrell Casey.
Very, very rare. So that's why I like Tripp bringing this to the forefront, because you're not always in a position where you want to pay for one of those top guys. And so
appreciate. And he is just 26. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's not like he's, you know, 30 plus.
He's probably got his best football in front of him. He's obviously his biggest opportunity, I think.
Sought out by a new staff coming in to take over the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Like Tripp said, on a deal that's not inconsequential. So,
and good measurables, too. I'm looking at his player profiler. I mean, 4.495 40, that's 79th percentile. Speed score was 86th percentile. Agility score 77th percentile. Burst score 71st percentile. So, I mean, this is a good athlete, above average athlete.
Did Akeem Hicks stay with the Bears?
No.
Tampa Bay. Sneaky little addition there
that's
for Tampa
right.
Bay.
You just kind of forget.
Gosh.
Julio, they've got Kyle Rudolph, they've got Akeem Hicks. It's just an excess of riches.
Line.
Yeah, they
that's
need some offensive linemen for sure.
College flag football.
So, nice ref there. Like we said, Bilal Nichols, an IDP draft kit special. So, thank you for bringing that back up, Tripp. Appreciate that. Let's move to the AFC East and talk about the New England Patriots. And a player that we pivoted to here in the ninth hour, I wanted to bring up because of something I read from John Macri. We mentioned his article on the podcast with Jace. Go check that out. The preseason takeaways from week two. Of course, we're headed into preseason week three here this weekend. So something to watch. I don't know how much the Patriots are going to play their starters in the third preseason game, but from the second game, this is what John wrote. The Patriots have long been a thorn in the side of IDP managers who hope their beloved defensive players will get a full-time role. Isn't that the truth? That doesn't appear to be changing anytime soon. Adrian Phillips started at strong safety with Kyle Duggar on the sideline until the team's first third down, when the Patriots shifted to their dime personnel and put Phillips, Devin McCourty, and Duggar on the field together. On the second drive, Phillips and Duggar swapped roles as Duggar and McCourty played every snap while Phillips rotated in for a third and long snap. They swapped again on the third defensive drive, confirming that this safety situation will be a headache to sort out each week should it continue into the regular season. So Kyle Duggar, we've got him in the bust territory because even though we love the player, Nate Tice talked him up on the IDP breakouts episode trip. We're not hating on the player, but the situation in New England has always been murky, no matter the position for fantasy. Do you think, as John has offered up here in this article, that the safety and DB situation will be a headache for IDP managers in 2022?
Oh, yeah. I don't see it being any really different than last year. Last year, Duggar played 77% of the snaps. Phillips played 82% of the snaps. Duggar had a little bit higher tackle efficiency. Both had right at 92 tackles, and Duggar played two less games. Duggar right on the fringe of being a safety one last year, even with that low snap count, because being a productive and not having a lot of linebacker strength in New England, a lot of linebacker production. But I think folks are thinking that, well, there's just a natural upward trajectory for Kyle Duggar. And everything I've seen says that Belichick and the crew really like Adrian Phillips, and so it's hard to predict that Duggar will overtake him. So at this point, I think you just got to have to hope he can do what he did last year. And if you're looking for more, then yeah, you're in for a disappointment. You're expecting more.
And that we had even mentioned Jarrell Peppers is there now, right?
That's right.
Has he got any run in the preseason?
It doesn't seem like it, at least from what John put out there. It sounds like it was McCourty and Adrian Phillips.
So he could still have to deal with Peppers too.
Exactly. So I wanted to see where Duggar was going in these best ball drafts that we'd done, just to see, are folks kind of baking in expected sort of ascendance, you know, from Kyle Duggar this season? DB 12, DB 7, DB 7, DB 15, DB 15. So anywhere between DB 7 and DB 15.
Yeah. No, thank you.
That just seems a little rich for a situation that will continue to be murky.
Yeah. Yeah, we love his usage. I mean, he's going to get a lot of box snaps. I think he was, you know, one of the leaders in box snaps. But, yeah, a good time to sell probably. Just because, you know, think about the running backs there in New England. That's kind of how it is with these safeties now, I think. I mean, they're going to be interchangeable, and Belichick's going to do what he wants to do. He's not going to worry about, you know, playing time. God, it would be miserable to be a player there in New England. Oh, to have to deal
you have
with that.
Steve Belichick with like just...
Yeah, have to deal with him.
Looking like the class bully from like a kid's movie.
Right.
You know, just no one talks about the nepotism with, you know, Bill Belichick having like four coaches and one of them is his son.
Yeah, I mean, that's truly the only thing his son, I think, can do is work with his dad, because I don't think anyone else is higher in that thing.
No, absolutely not. But think about the linebackers in New England, too. You've got Juwan Bentley, Raekwon McMillan, Mac Wilson. Like, that's a mess as well.
That's forever been a headache.
Do y'all agree or disagree, though, that like the only reason I'm still holding on to Duggar is because I don't feel like he's a common name yet. Like, I don't feel like people really reach for him that much. You know, I feel like his value based on his ADP is still fine to me. Like, he might not get, you're not going to get the Jeremy Chinn snap percentage, but I feel like for where you're taking him in drafts, he's still okay to me.
He's a little rich for me.
You think he's getting high in, like,
if he's
ADP?
Top 12, that's too rich.
I just don't like, I mean, he's just in that range where I don't want to take a safety.
It's the safety dead zone. We've talked about this.
I don't want to take a safety. I'm not going to spend a high draft pick on a safety. We know that unless it's Derwin James, but again, I'm not starting.
You're
off
not going to pay
team.
That sticker price.
I'm not going to do it. So
no,
you know, I like a lot of these safeties, but I'm not going to draft these guys. I'm not going to be in love with any of these guys. If you can get value out of any of these type dudes, get it.
Yeah. Let's move on though to probably the one player on the Patriots that we can safely label as a stud. And he had a tremendous, I don't want to say breakout season because he was already an established player, but I think outperformed a lot of folks' expectations, and that's Matt Judon. Played 81% of the snaps across 17 games, including 16 in which he started, averaged 13.7 points per game, graded pretty well, 64.4 overall with a 73.3 pass rush grade, racked up 60 total tackles, 14 TFLs, and 12.5 sacks to go along with 25 QB hits. Trip, I for one know that I had low expectations for Judon, so he definitely exceeded what I thought he was capable of for 2021. But what should our expectations be for 2022? Is it more of the same, or should we maybe lessen our enthusiasm?
Well, I think there's really two, there's a tale of two seasons here for Judon is the thing. The first half of the year, he piled up the majority of his sacks and pressures, like two-thirds of them almost in the first half of the season. And then the Patriots shifted philosophy a little bit, played a lot more zone. And I have a hard time explaining exactly if that affected it or not. But I can just say that I think Belichick comes from a perspective that you've got to build out the coverages first and then let the and then allocate whatever resources you have remaining to pass rush and run defense. And so when we look at who the Patriots have a corner this year, they lost J.C. Jackson. They're planning, but what I saw today is they're planning on rolling out Jonathan Jones and Jalen Mills at the outside, on the boundaries, and then Miles Bryant at the slot. And that just sounds rough to me. So if folks think that Judon is going to get 12 and a half sacks again, and I think that was the first time he'd had double digit sacks in his career, I don't know if I would buy into that. So I like Judon. I think he's a good player. I don't know if I would go so far as to, you know, call him a DE1 or anything.
Yeah, Addy, he's unfortunately one of those players, and we're not going to get Tripp started on the true position argument, but he is one of those players that gets banged by the positional designation on a lot of platforms listed as a linebacker. So he's not a player. I don't roster Patriots as a general rule because I love myself more than that as a Colts fan. But for those folks who do roster Patriots, I think because of that reason and just the fact that the Patriots are hard to figure out, not a guy that's really on my radar.
Yeah, in Sleeper, though, he definitely is. I think he's a tremendous value, actually, on Sleeper. Because a lot of people kind of sleep on this guy. I mean, if you look at pressure rates, Matt Judon was pretty elite last year, 15%. I mean, that's one of the tops in the league. Even his career pressure rate's not bad, 13% career pressure rate. Yeah, I like Matt Judon. I mean, I'd say in those best balls, he was probably going like...
I've got the data right here. He was going around like DL 24 to 31 is the lowest I see.
I'll take that. I'll take
back that. In DL 2, high in DL
3. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah,
I'm totally comfortable with him being my second defensive lineman on my team.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're paying DL 3 price for Matt Judon, interested at that cost?
Yeah, I'd be a buyer at that price.
He had 8 games over 15 points last year. He had 4 20-point games.
There we go. Now, how many of those were at the beginning of the season, I wonder?
I'm not sure.
You have it by week?
He did have 7 games under 10 points, 1 game less than 5 points, though.
There we go. Babbo, I know you were famously employing the get all of the mislabeled guys that Harold were Landry's, actual edge rushers as Marcus linebackers. Golden. Yeah, last season. So you had Judon for a while. I think he was in the team name even for a stretch there. Yeah. So what's your temperature on Matt Judon now going into 2022?
I agree with Tripp, and I think it might be even a benefit. You look back, 2017, 8 sacks. In 18, he had 7. In 19 with the Ravens, he had 9.5. He regressed to 6 in 2020, but then had 12.5 last year with the Patriots. So I agree with Tripp. I think he will regress back to the 9 to 10 sack category. But I would like to see – I got screwed by Judon. Like, he got me to the playoffs in a lot of leagues, and then I got screwed. I got hosed. Mm-hmm. I would like to see a little bit of the sacks spread out some. I'm with Tripp. It's a little bit worrisome. I think you were saying, Tripp, they shifted their scheme a little bit later on in the year, which might have phased Judon out a touch. So that's a little bit interesting to see because you never know with Belichick, man. You 3 weeks go by, and the next 3 weeks could be completely different run-wise, pass-wise,
personnel-wise,
scheme, defense, whatever, than the previous 3 weeks. So I think Judon is probably the same category as Duggar. If you have anybody coming and willing to pay above sticker price, let them go. Go find somebody else. But I will say, most QB hits since 2019, Judon is second behind TJ Watt, and top five is Watt, Judon, Bosa, Donald, and Barrett.
So there you go.
So pretty nice company, at least in that category.
If you get points for QB hits, which if your platform allows that, you should, then that makes Judon a more attractive option.
Another little just random note, Baltimore, man, another former Baltimore edge rusher that just eats.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Owe gone here.
I know.
Yeah, where's Owe going?
I mean, Za'Darius Smith,
yeah,
Matt Judon. I know there's been others, but man, they're good at picking them there in Baltimore. But they don't want to keep
them. They don't want to keep them. They want the comp pick. They'll go pick the next guy, and it's just like a factory. They just roll these guys out on like an assembly line.
So Tripp, gun to the head, because we don't really love Patriots around here.
You
if you've got a roster one of them, who are you rostering?
Don't you touch your hair on his head.
Yeah, if we're talking where Judon sells was DL, then he's the priority of the, okay. the IDPs there on the roster.
I got you. What about Barmore? Are you a Christian Barmore guy real quick?
Oh, yeah. He's definitely interesting. Yeah, DT yeah. required league. But if I can get him as my DT2, I don't know that I can. But if I can, I'm super interested in that.
Optimism for him in DT required leagues to be top 12 this year?
I would think it's an outside chance.
Yeah.
I worry a little bit scheme-based. You know, he had some really impressive metrics on PFF. I know that. I've heard John McLaughlin make the case. It's a scheme that's really not trying to get a lot of penetration up the middle. Maybe that changes this year. Maybe they feel like Barmore fits that role for them and they do more of that. So that's what I would be concerned about.
They have another really good interior guy, too.
Devon Godjo is there.
There you go. That's it.
He's formerly of Miami, right?
What yeah.
Name? Yes.
Godjo of Miami.
Yeah, God in his name.
Weird that's team. Right. Weird team.
Good job, team. Good work. Well, let's flip back to another team in the AFC West and go with the Kansas City Chiefs. Got a couple of sleepers here lined up for us, Tripp. Who's your first guy? Addy, you're going to like this one.
Yeah, it's like what Macri and Bellevue will say. Spags hates IDP.
That's
we'll
true.
We'll see if we can find some cheap ones here.
There we go.
And my first cheap one is Frank Flair. This is a guy. I've been in a couple of y'all's IDP best ball leagues, and in the first one, IDP number one, Frank Clark was the very last starting 4-3 defensive end drafted by me. And then the second one, he was the second last by me. Nobody wants this guy. He plays like 800 snaps a season. And yes, you look at his numbers and it's just been a steady downward trend in counting stats. But if you look at his metrics, PFF and Pro Football Reference, it doesn't tail off as badly. He's not playing well, but it's not like he's just become a carcass out there either. And so just based on volume, he's pretty clearly going to be a starting defensive end there for Kansas City again. Based on volume, the fact that this team is generally playing downhill, the pass rush opportunities that he has, I think there's just some opportunity to regress to the mean in terms of him converting pass rush opportunities to pressures and sacks. Mm-hmm. So that alone is interesting to me. And then there's the preseason buzz, and you take it with a grain of salt, but there seemed to be some recognition from Frank Clark that he hasn't performed to his potential in the last couple of years. And you like to see a guy could kind of own that and commit to being better. We'll see if anything comes of that. But I just statistically alone, I think he, at the cost of being the very last 4-3 defensive end on the board, statistically alone, I think he's worth that pick. And then if there's some optimism that he could do what he did in Seattle, where he really was worth the DL2 price tag, then, you know, not that he is now, but when he has performed to that level in the past, and he's only 28 or 29 years old, I think there's still that possibility there. So I'm intrigued.
I was just curious, Addy. I was like, oh, was he like DL50, DL60 when Tripp took him? No, he was DL90.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
We talk about discounts. This is like finding a Mona Lisa at the dollar store.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, my favorite thing about Frank Clark is that his contract is going to be ending pretty soon. And I guarantee you, Frank noticed Chandler Jones, Khalil Mack,
Von Miller.
I guarantee you he noticed what those dudes were getting paid. I bet that guy's going to rededicate himself and try his damnedest to get one more deal. So I love this call. And yeah, I mean, DL90.
Yes.
People don't like this guy at this
no,
point.
No,
right?
I think they've been so burned and they just have such a bad taste in their mouth. Like Tripp said, he was a bum. Like just in terms of how he was approaching the game, I think we were turned off by the approach that he took.
Yeah.
Not just the results, but like Tripp said, we want to take training camp buzz and hype with a grain of salt, but we like when it's positive.
Yeah, you know? And we've seen the vidges.
Yes.
I mean, he does look good.
He looks
and,
good. Mean, cut weight. He's
all
leaner.
All the buzz has been good. It seems like he's been a pretty good teammate to Karloftis. All the stuff that we want to see is out there. And I think, you know, if you're looking, if I had to project, like, what type of season Frank Clark is going to have sack-wise, do I think he's going to be a double-digit guy? Probably not. But, I mean, I think he has a real chance at being, like, a, you know, 7-9 type of sack guy. And I mean, that's, if you're getting them free, pretty much. I mean,
that's free.
That's a great piece to have.
I love that. Bobbo.
Yes, sir.
Frank Clark. Best shape of his life.
You know,
what we think.
We need to the dust off the old Instagram segment because Frank's got a good, he's got a good vibe on Instagram.
He's been working?
He's got a little drip, too. He's got a little drip. You know, here he is, I don't know, walking in pregame with like a mechanics type outfit on.
I love that.
I mean, the vibe for me
is just going to work.
Pretty strong.
I mean, don't forget, I mean, he did get caught with a Uzi and a Lambo, right?
Yeah, Uzi and the Lambo.
That's about as tight as it gets.
Yeah. That's some serious street cred is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's all right. I mean, I kind of respect him more for that now that I remembered that fact, Daddy. Yeah. Thank you for resurfacing that.
Of course, I never forget that.
Now, talk about another player that we are hoping can have this redemption arc trip. This next player is another Addy favorite coming over from a new team. Who's the next guy on your list?
Now, Justin Reed, the new safety coming over there. And this is an interesting story. So when we started working on the IDP draft kit, there was a couple guys in there, Addy probably one of them, that were really high on Justin Reed. And I was like, yeah, I don't know how high I am on him. Then I joined Football Guys with some help from y'all, and which I greatly appreciate. And I'm starting to rank with 7 other guys, which is really weird because at Dynasty Football Factory, I'm ranking with 1 other guy. And, you know, we would compare notes and talk. Well, all of a sudden you're ranking against 7 other guys and you're seeing just the vast array of different opinions. It was kind of fascinating. And I was very much to my surprise, the highest on Justin Reed of all these guys at Football Guys. Mm. I was like, well, I didn't see that coming. So I was like, why am I high on? Why are they low on it? I think that the common narrative is, oh, well, you know, they're not going to, they have play a lot of too high and they're going to have somebody else be the dime linebacker from the safety position. And that player is probably Brian Cross, the rookie. Mm. But then I look at like how they deployed Tyrann Mathieu. And I always felt like that his deployment was decent. It wasn't ideal for IDP production, but it certainly wasn't like he was sitting back all the time as deep safety like Vaughn or Thornhill was. And so I feel like there's an opportunity for Reed, who has, you know, shown some tackle efficiency in the past and shown some ability to make some plays in the past, to come in and be productive in a role that does allow him to move all over the field. And then when you talk about Brian Cross, he's not going to play anywhere near the amount of snaps as rookie that Daniel Sorensen has in the last couple of years. So it's a fluid situation in the box in Kansas City because the linebackers are the big story there for IDP and the folks that are interested in that. So far, it's very positive, I would say, for those two linebackers getting a good chunk of snaps. But they're in competition, of course, with the safeties. And I think that the workload for the third safety, the Sorensen role, will be reduced. And so there's somebody's going to pick that production up. And I think that Reed is an interesting sleeper to grab some of that because if, you know, the history of the linebacker deployment has been that it's more of a hodgepodge than we might like. Mm-hmm. So I'm not predicting that exactly, that the linebacker position will absolutely be a mess again. But I also think there's a possibility that that Reed as the safety can come in there and get his fair share. So I'm intrigued by him.
Yeah, Addy, it's just follow the breadcrumbs, right? Mm-hmm. They paid this guy. They let Honey Badger go. He sat out there for a long time. So it wasn't like he was really negotiating from a position of strength of like, well, we like Honey Badger. We just don't want to pay that price tag. No, I don't think that was it. I think they saw Justin Reed as an upgrade over what Honey Badger could give them at this point in his career. They let Dirty Dan, the tackle missing man, go. It's going to be Juan Thornhill. It's going to be Justin Reed. And I think it's wheels up. We know this guy, before Houston became a toxic waste dump, was really productive. And then he tailed off. And now I think he has a chance to go chase a ring with Patrick Mahomes. And I think this guy's going to be fired up.
Yep, I think so too, man. You can't overstate just how juiced he's got to be feeling going from a place like Houston to Kansas City. He got freaking paid, so he's got respect. I love Justin Reed. I mean, he's one of my favorite upside plays at safety just because I think he is going to be, you know, the guy that kind of plays in the box, plays in the slot, plays closer to the line of scrimmage. Yeah, he's a playmaker. I just think that he wasn't locked in there in Houston, which, I mean, how could you be? So, yeah, I love Justin Reed. And also, I mean, the price tag is not bad.
I was
like,
going to say,
we've been hyping the hell out of him, but it still was like, let's read it.
Okay, so we got, this is kind of crazy. I cannot believe it's this low. So,
and Addy's probably got four of the ones you're about to read.
I know. I think you must have the DB15 because that was over in, I think that was Best Ball 2. That was Best Ball 2. Yeah. Okay, so I think that's the highest. So maybe someone sniped you. I think someone sniped you in Best Ball 2 because that's the highest by far. 19, 31, 34, 42, and I think this is 39. Yes, DB 39. So aside from a 15 and a 19, Justin Reed is going on average as a back-end DB 3, a high-end DB 4. Tripp, that's insane to me that after all of the off-season hype and all of the positive kind of buzz and narratives around Justin Reed, that he's still going as a back-end 3-4. In leagues where guys, like Addy said, are pretty plugged in, know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm surprised he's lasting that long as well. And that's why you waited safety positions, right? You get a guy like Justin Reed as your safety four. And like, why, you know, just wait till the end of the draft and take four guys. This is crazy.
I think all of the 30 DB 30 picks were you going, oh baby, Justin Reed is still here. I don't have a single safety and I'm going with Justin Reed.
Yeah, he's been one of my favorite plays this year. So I'm hoping for big things. Kansas City is also one of those teams where we just kind of trust their evaluations, right? Mm-hmm. They just get fun players. They get good players. And the fact that they sought out Justin Reed, just I think it should make your ears perk up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The other thing we need to pay attention to is, kind of fingers crossed Harrison Butker doesn't get hurt this year because Justin Reed definitely hit a 65-yard field goal in practice in a couple weeks back. So double down a little safety kicker combo.
Does he get points for kicks?
The problem is we usually don't play in leagues with kickers anymore, really.
Sure. Yeah, there we go. We jettison the kicker. I found out our punter just tore his Achilles for the Colts, great.
So you're right. This Chiefs defense is fun. That was my mower thoughts. I was on the back 40 this week. And I think
there's like some poppy fields that Bobby's mowing and like drugs. Hallucinogens are coming into his system for these mower thought segments.
Tripp, could the Chiefs be the best defense in the NFL this year?
Could they? I mean, anything's possible.
That's what you say like to your kid when it's like, could it rain gumdrops? And you're like, Dad, can I guess it could.
Yeah. I have been impressed with Karlaftis, man. He looks really good.
Yeah. He looks great.
It seems like that was a good pick.
They're going to have a lot of pieces. I think Leo Chenal looks pretty healthy for this early, as a rookie. I think Willie Gay has had a lot of good hype.
Nick
this
Bolton
offseason.
Has been tearing it up.
Yeah.
I think we all want to be on the Nick Bolton hype train, but it's just like Spags is just waiting to stab us in the back, like Game of Thrones style. I just can't trust the man.
I'll say this for Frank Clark and for Karlaftis. I did see today where Carlos Dunlap was he had a sore Achilles, which is kind of interesting at this point in training camp.
I get it.
And Karlaftis has been insane. I mean, he could get some early play and actually show out pretty well. But I'm going to really be excited to see the Chiefs play. L'Jarius Sneed, he had a nice play last preseason game. He's another DB that Adam loves just grabbing at like DB 50.
Yep.
Man, the Chiefs could be really good.
Adam just has all Chiefs DBs.
They just get fun players, man.
Yeah, they're just
offense,
fun.
They know what defense. They're doing.
That's right.
I thought about this the other day, too. We need to go see Chiefs-Rams. Y'all go to Kansas City
That'd
with
be fun.
Me?
Absolutely.
That'd be a good game.
Yeah. Some barbecue.
That's the closest the Rams
They're
get
working
to
on
us.
Fixing that airport. They have a Super Bowl coming up, and they have the World Cup.
Josh goes straight to airport. Adam's talking about barbecue.
I'm just saying, like we need the airport situation.
Tripp's going to be on the intercom there, talking, calming everybody down.
That's your second airport reference on this pod. Don't make it a third, damn it.
You haven't been on an airplane in like a decade. Can you still smoke on these things? Oh, geez. All right, Bobbo, I'm going to set you up here, give you a sec to scroll down on the notes. Why don't you cue up our next player here? Let's shift things back to the AFC East and talk about the Miami Dolphins, a guy we've already mentioned, a stud that we like, especially in those D-tackle-required leagues. Who's the next guy on our list?
Absolutely. Miami Dolphins defensive tackle here, stud Christian Wilkins. Let's look at his 2021 stats. PFF. He had an overall grade of 83.3. He had a run defense grade of 80.8. A tackle grade, pretty interesting, kind of like Aaron Donald, real low at 36.
36, not looking great. That's the one red.
Pressure grade of 70 and then a coverage grade of 60. 65% snap share there. He did play 17 games and averaged 12.3 points per game. He actually had 90 total tackles last year, 11 TFL, which is awesome to see, 5.5 sacks, and then stacked in a couple other big plays as well with 13 QB hits. You know, it could kind of be seen as a breakout there for Christian Wilkins in 2021. It was done with relatively low pressure and sack numbers, 31 and 5.5. But he was a tackle monster. 90 total tackles from an interior guy is a really, really big number. That's really a number that Donald, you know, Drill Casey, Cameron Hayward, you know, a lot of those guys don't get to. I like Christian Wilkins a lot. I guess the big question for me is he going to take a step in the sack department this year? Is Jalen Phillips playing alongside of him more, the guy that we're going to talk about next, alongside Jalen Phillips more? Maybe that defense gets a little bit better. Can we see more than 5.5 sacks for Wilkins in 2022?
We have the perfect person on here. It's our scheme master, the man who has the skeleton key for all of the schemes in the NFL. Tripp, what do you know about this new Dolphins coaching staff? I believe they kept the defensive coordinator. Obviously, new head coach there, but same defensive coordinator. Can we expect any maybe schematic differences for this year for the Dolphins?
I wouldn't expect so. I think the new coach is an offensive guy. So, yeah, I'm expecting Josh Boyer to, you know, it's his defense now, right? It wasn't a couple of years ago. He was an underling with Brian Flores, but I might have to recuse myself on the "is Christian Wilkins a stud" because I'm a Clemson homer, and I've long been a fan of Christian Wilkins.
Let's go.
And my issue with Wilkins has been that I just never liked the landing spot, and I think he's finally coming around now. So he felt like, to me, profile is that perfect interior disruptor. Mm-hmm. I felt like that he was really the engine in that Clemson defense. He played along Dexter Lawrence and Cleveland Furl.
Yeah,
and we know the story of Furl, and Lawrence has proven to be a good nose tackle, which is, we knew that in college as well. Wilkins was just that guy. He was the featured guy. He was the guy that was really the disruptor and the engine of that defense, in my opinion. And to see him land in Miami, where they're doing a lot of two-gapping and asking him to do more things, has been frustrating to me to watch. But I do think that, like y'all said, I think he's poised to continue to grow and improve in the pass rush department. And he's out there. He's making tackles. I mean, you can't expect him to get what the 90 tackles they get again, but there's no reason why he's going to drop down to 50 or anything. Mm-hmm. So you got a good tackle floor, and you've got upside of the pass rush side. So I like it.
Yeah, great target, D tackle required leagues. Even, you know, leagues on Sleeper Addy where we have the DL designation. Don't mind a Christian Wilkins sprinkled in there every once in a while.
No, I mean, if he's going to be tackling like that, yeah, I mean, that's a nice little floor week to week. But, I mean, is that 90 tackle year, is that an outlier?
Probably.
Because I don't know that the sack numbers are going to come up, you know?
Five and a half is healthy. It seems about for a D-tackle. I will say it's hilarious he had 90 tackles with a 36 tackle grade from PFF. Did he miss 100 tackles?
So maybe he's due for a lot more.
Maybe 190 tackles incoming. Would that be insane? Just completely breaks everyone models.
He leads the league in tackles.
Yeah, he's the leading tackle guy. That would be great.
Let's go back real quick, Trip, to Clemson days for Christian Wilkins. So he had 192 total tackles over his 4 years at Clemson. He had 40 tackles for loss. He had 16 sacks. But you're right, he never saw more than 5.5 sacks there at Clemson. But he did have 2 years of 13 tackles for loss, and then in 18, he had 14 tackles for loss.
And those are good tackle numbers, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 190-something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very healthy.
I feel like you all talked maybe on the Big Nickel episode about this next guy, Trip. If not, I think I've heard you talk about him somewhere. And I think you're a little more hesitant, not maybe as optimistic as this table is, on Jalen Phillips, the breakout potential. We saw it in starts and fits last season. I won't say it was consistent week to week, but what I'm really looking for in a rookie is flashes. And we got that with Jalen Phillips. 9 TFLs, 8.5 sacks, 42 total tackles, graded okay, 53.7. but a 61.3 pass rush grade, only 54% of snaps, played 17 games, but only started in 5, 9.3 points per game. Tripp, I think there is a lot of folks who are very optimistic that Jalen Phillips could make that leap into that upper tier, right? That top 12 of edge rushers in the NFL. If I'm remembering correctly, you had some cause for concern, a reason to pause a little bit on the Jalen Phillips height. What's your temperature on Phillips going into 2022?
Yeah, I talked about that with Macri on the Big Nickel Pod, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, he and I talked about Quiddy Pay versus Jalen Phillips, and it's, I think you look at the numbers and the, it's almost like the reverse numbers or something. It's just based on performance in my mind. I thought that Phillips was okay. Like you said, he flashed, but he played about half the snaps. He's in a designated pass rusher role right now. The other edges on that team, Emmanuel Ogba and Andrew Van Ginkel, are able to do more than Phillips does, and so they're playing more snaps. Ogba can kick inside, and Van Ginkel, not good in coverage, but he's being asked to cover and do more things. And so you think of those guys, well, they're no-name guys. Maybe Phillips overtakes them, but he's got to be able to show that he either can cover or be stout in the run game. And what they've done instead in Miami is to bring in more competition, not less, in the person of Melvin Ingram. So I don't see how Phillips can take a step forward from the 9.5 or 9 sacks that they had last year, based with 54% playing time. There may be even downward pressure on that number. I don't hate him if you're taking a shot on a late DL3, more of a DL4 type, I guess I would feel better with him, Matt, but because you're, you know, hoping that there's upside there. And I think long-term there is, but I think my second concern with him relative to pay was that Phillips was the guy that was supposed to be more NFL ready coming. The reason why Phillips was drafted one pick after pay and outside of the top 15 was because of health concerns. And so he comes in as literally, in my opinion, not as effective at pay in year one.
Yeah, Addy, I'm looking right now. The price is steep on Jalen Phillips, going anywhere between DL12 and DL20.
Yeah.
In the best balls that we've done. So you're not getting a Jalen Phillips discount. You're not getting him as your DL3, as Tripp suggested. I have a hard time with a guy that has shown that upside and that potential not earning an expanded role over, you know, Rip Van Winkle and the corpse of Melvin Ingram.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't. And maybe that makes me a rose-colored glasses type of optimist, but I think what it is, I just want to believe in the Jalen Phillips breakout. Is it logical? Maybe not. But I think big things are incoming for Jalen Phillips in 2022.
I do, too. You want to be there for when it happens.
That's right.
Right? And if you've been following along with all, you know, all the beat writers, and they got some good beat writers down there in Miami, every single one of them has made sure to mention Jalen Phillips and how impressive he looks. I think who was it that I saw? Maybe it was Mike Clay doing the projections. I think he had Phillips projected for like 500 snaps, something like that. 500, maybe 600. No way. Like, no way. If that happens, that is a nightmare scenario. Like, no freaking way can you let someone like Melvin Ingram or Van Ginkel that dude off the field. Like, the fans are going to be pissed. Like, no way. Jalen Phillips is a baller, in my opinion. I think we're going to see him level up. Is the price tag a little steep in these drafts? At DL12, yes, probably so. You're taking him with his upside at that price. But dynasty-wise, man, I can't get enough of Jalen Phillips.
Oh, yeah. Dynasty-wise, I'm all over Jalen Phillips. I think, at least for 2022, if you're taking him as DL12, you're taking him at a ceiling.
Yeah.
I think the best you can expect from...
And the thing with Quiddy Pay, bro didn't produce at all.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, you got to show me something. Like, yep. Jalen, we have 40-point games from Jalen Phillips. Like, there is not a lot of people that can do that.
No.
Maybe 10 players can do that.
And, Bobby, I think what it is with Phillips is that I'm just willing to be wrong.
Yep.
There are certain players I'll go down with the ship on, and Jalen Phillips is just one of those guys.
Yeah, I agree. I'm fine drafting Phillips where he is. He's to me, I know I love Owe, and I even love Ojulari. I really like Pay as well, but I've come around to Jalen Phillips. I think will end up being the best edge out of this class. Adam's right. We've seen 40-point games. Even though it might have been against lesser competition or a bad quarterback or whatever, it's still a freaking 40-point game. A lot of his sacks came in, you know, a small segment of the season. I think he saw 9 of his sacks in like 10 games. I want to see it spread out a little bit more, kind of like Judon. You know, let's spread it out throughout the whole season, because Phillips kind of screwed you for the playoffs. But I don't tolerate Phillips slander too much. I like
it. And maybe we're a year early. Maybe we're a year early on Phillips, and this is a situation where year three, year four, he really comes on.
No, you got to be early to these DNs, though.
But exactly. I'd rather be in early than having to pay.
And he just checks so many boxes, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, if the profile, like, athletically, I think they're comping him to Danielle Hunter. Mm-hmm. I mean, the dude's got insane drip. He's got the swag factor. All the hype. It's just, it's all lining up for us.
I'm with you too, Addy. Miami, if you all play Melvin Ingram, I don't care about Van Ginkle. If they
play Rip Van Winkle and Melvin Gordon over Jalen Phillips, Stephen Ross, they need to reopen the investigation.
They play
and
Melvin Gordon.
See if he actually is offering money for tanking, because that is that's a conspiracy.
But you got to think too that, like, Miami must think that they might have a chance. They went out and got Tyreek Hill in the offseason. Like, they brought in some linebackers. They have a rookie quarterback. They got Jalen Waddle. I mean, like,
rookie quarterback.
Younger quarterback, sorry, into how many years?
Plays like a rookie.
Yeah, he does play like a rookie.
Acts like a rookie.
Mike McDonald's kind of
McDonald
on coke, maybe.
Yeah, he's a little. He's
Is his name Donald? I thought it was Daniel.
Oh, Mike McDaniel. Yeah. Sorry.
Josh Hungry.
What do you guys think about him? Do you like him? Is he getting on your nerves a little bit?
He's doing a little much. I want him to scale it back just a bit.
He's giving me the Brandon Staley kind of vibe. Like, bro, chill out. Just
no, he's like Brandon Staley, but hopped up on some sort of uppers. And he needs to just dial it back a little bit.
Yeah. The eyes are a little big.
Have a beer. A little too cute. He's doing it a little too much for the memes, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't appreciate that.
He is a funny guy, though.
He seemed like a
cool hang.
Yeah. I would like hanging with him. Do I want him as my football coach? Like, leading a bunch of alpha males out onto the field?
Yeah, what's Christian Wilkins think of this guy? Yeah. I'd love to know.
I'd love to know what Jalen Phillips thinks of him.
That's right.
But let's keep it rolling here, Tripp, and flip back over to the AFC West and talk about the Los Angeles Chargers. You've got a sleeper and a bust lined up for us. But let's start out with the player that Bobby just saw go in the second round of one of those, I think, autism awareness eliminators that you guys are in, right, Babbo? Sure. So Babbo was pulling some Jedi mind tricks and got someone to take Sebastian Joseph Day in the second round. So tell us why he's worthy of a second round pick, Tripp.
Oh, well, he's not a sleeper. No. I just have this totally wrong. He just
he's stud.
Screwed up, Tripp.
Yeah.
Too late.
I thought folks were sleeping on him.
They are. He should be a first round pick.
What I like about Sebastian Joseph Day, I ran across a stat on ProFootballFocus.com, and it was a stat that shows run stop percentage. So Sebastian Joseph Day, the last 2 years, has had like 13 to 15% run stop percentage. And what that means is that of the run stops that are happening, that are coming at his team, he's collecting 13 to 15%. And most players are well below 10. I just think it's fascinating that he is this active in the run game. And he missed like the second half of last year because he got hurt. But in the 1.5 years that he was out there, he's just piling up tackles in this scheme. And he played next to Aaron Donald, and folks say, well, maybe that's why. I really think that, like I said before, that the tackle efficiencies have a lot to do with scheme. And now he's joining the Chargers this year, but he's joining Brandon Staley when playing pretty much the same scheme. Mm-hmm. And he'll be between Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack. And so if you look at who they have at linebacker, I really think they want the defensive line to try to make tackles rather than rely on those linebackers. So I'm eager for Sebastian Joseph Day to not the return on investment on the second round pick, but be a guy that is, without being a big-time pass rusher, can be a defensive tackle that you'd be happy with as your DT1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Babbo, you're very familiar with Sebastian's work. Tell us about Mr. Joseph Day.
You know, this is going to be a good one. Y'all ready for this? Discount Christian Wilkins.
Oh, okay. I'm going to see that on a T-shirt someday.
So if we extrapolate those first 7 games for Sebastian Joseph Day, if he hadn't got hurt, he was on pace for 92 tackles and 7 sacks. Which is very eerie to Christian Wilkins. You know, Christian Wilkins, 5.5 sacks. I think he did, like we just talked about, have 90 tackles on the year. I agree with you, Tripp. There is some speculation that maybe he's kind of got that Ndamukong Suh type mentality to where it was like, look at the payday that Donald got for this guy too. But I agree with you. I think that even though I still like guys like A'shaun Robinson this year because he's going to get to play beside of Aaron Donald. I really think that Sebastian Joseph Day, especially in your defensive tackle like premium leagues, I think he could be a top six guy.
Wow.
Maybe that's too high, but I really think that the exactly what you're saying, you're in between, you know, Khalil Mack, you're in between him and Joey Bosa. You've got a defensive-minded head coach. Jerry Tillery is going to be there, Austin Johnson as well. Man, I think Sebastian Joseph Day could have a great year.
Yeah. Fun defense.
It's a very fun defense.
I like that, though. I mean, I think he's got to be one of the defensive tackles with the most upside.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because he's going to be late in drafts.
Yeah. He's not worth a second over.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's the highest he's ever been drafted.
It's true. Yeah. It's like the outlier point. Yeah. That's like 14 inches away
some
from the other ones on the graph.
At their ADP and like, yeah. Well, damn it. Look, yeah. This is going to mess this ADP.
Man, this is about to jump this guy like 100 spots. Trip, we talked earlier kind of contextualizing where we saw, you know, Bilal Nichols in these D tackle required leagues. Is Sebastian Joseph Day another guy that you could see with top 12 upside in DT required leagues?
Yep. For sure. Yep.
So, am I out of line in top six, Trip?
Yeah, does he have top six upside is the real question.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm still working on these defensive tackle numbers. That's the thing that I find tough. It's like the tackle numbers, if you will.
The D tackle numbers.
Yeah, these big, huge volume of tackles. It's like, I don't have a good sense as to how sticky those are from year to year. That's, I guess, my biggest concern. And then, if he's a DT6, you're looking for three or four sacks. And I would say that he could get it. I mean, he's got some athleticism. He's a sneaky, good pass rusher. So I don't think that's overly optimistic, but it is certainly optimistic. Mm.
There you go. Trip puts up with so much from us. I just want to screenshot his face when we ask him these absurd questions.
And again, though, that's probably not hard to get there. Like, yeah. It's like the tight end situation, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no difference between tight end 7 and tight end 20. Mm-hmm.
Well, and two, what do we say about tight ends? Just catch a touchdown. Like, yeah. When you're streaming the position, mm-hmm. Who's the guy that could catch a touchdown?
Yeah.
And with D tackles, it's who's the guy that could get a sack?
Or a tackle for loss.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Multiple tackle for losses, yep. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, Sebastian Joseph Day.
Do we have any of the Charger linebackers on this list?
We do. We're getting ready to talk about one of them here in just
all right,
a sec.
All right.
Speaking of which, let's roll into the next guy, Trip. When we did the episode with Jace, one of the things that made my eyeballs about pop out of my head was him referencing some of these mock drafts he's done where this next player is being drafted around the likes of Dre Greenlaw. And I really cannot believe that we are still in the year of our Lord 2022 drafting Kenneth Murray, where he is going in drafts. But what's your outlook for the Chargers linebacker for this season?
Yeah, I think his goose is cooked. They brought in Kyle Van Noy as a second wave of street free agents, I think. And he's starting. Kenneth Murray got hurt, missed time. And I saw a story today and it sounds like it's locked in. It sounds like Van Noy and Tranquil are the starters. And there's hope that Murray can come in and contribute as the third guy. He played some outside linebacker snaps last year. I think they're hoping that they have a little inside-outside flexibility. And I think he'll need to get on the field. So I think their folks tend to hold on to those first-round guys and forever until they're just completely out of the league and are willing to pay something for name recognition. And I really think that's about all it is at this point. So if he's still a guy that's going ahead and drink Dre Greenlaw, then yeah, I think that's just an obvious mistake.
Yeah, it's funny. You look across the ADP spreadsheet that we have, and Murray just stair steps down as the months go on because the outlook has gotten gloomier and gloomier, and I just don't think, Addy, at this point, it's sad to say, I don't think he's worth rostering.
Nope.
No matter how deep your league is.
Nope. So Trip, who is the linebacker you want there?
It's got to be Tranquil. I don't feel good at all saying that.
Yeah.
My biggest issue with Tranquil is he had a 0.5 defensive average depth of target last year, which means he's not even trying to carry receivers down the field. And boy, that makes me nervous. If I had to, it's really more of a none of the above situation for me. I'd be surprised if any linebacker there got 85% of the snaps.
Yeah, that's the problem. I don't think there's going to be anyone over 80%. Looking at Tranquil, though, and his numbers, I mean, he has put up a really good tackle rate in his career, 16.1% tackle rate. That's exactly what Denzel Perryman had But I mean, he could be that type. You know, he could be this year's Denzel Perryman if he gets he would only need 80% of the tackles or 80% of the snaps to get 130 tackles probably. But yeah, it's a risk. I mean, that's a guy that's never been able to stay healthy. And also, I mean, Troy Reader, a little sneaky. I kind of don't mind.
You just want to get your reader.
Get your reader.
You just want to get your reader.
No, I'm with you, Addy. People have forgotten him, and Tranquil's injuries make you have to pay attention to Troy Reader.
I was going to say, Reader knows the system. Yeah. We're going to be starting Troy Reader in like week six. That's true. I can just feel it.
He understands the system. I mean, he knows the system.
He was brought in by Staley. Right. I mean,
I think that's another reason why Murray is not going to work, because I don't think Staley likes Murray.
No.
That was the previous regime pick. Maybe Murray goes somewhere else and maybe sees some type of significance at some point in his career. Because he was a first-round draft pick, but I don't think he's going
to
be with the Chargers.
Yeah, I was listening to the Athletic Football Show. Robert Mays went to training camp for the Chargers and said they are, like, over-the-moon excited about Kyle Van Noy.
Oh my gosh.
And I think that says less to me about Kyle Van Noy and more to me about how much this staff dislikes Kenneth Murray.
Well, Kenneth Murray did have the off-season, like, surgery. He just started practice, like, Monday. Says he'll be ready for week one to be the fourth string. So, there you go.
So, can we expect Van Noy to have any IDP relevancy this year?
What do you expect that role to be? I have a hard time figuring out how they want to use him, Tripp.
I think a little bit like the inside-outside. I think that's why he's in direct competition with Ken Murray, is that he's going to be expected to play some outside snaps, which will lower his tackle efficiency. So, he's not, can't be more than an LB5 at this point.
Which is another reason why I feel like you've got to pay attention to Troy Reader. From a tackle perspective, I feel like he could just rack him up playing behind Sebastian Joseph Day, a really good defensive line, in my opinion. You're going to have Derwin James there as well. That defense is going to be good. There's going to be a relevant linebacker for that team. We just don't know who it is yet.
Let's keep things rolling here, Tripp, and talk about the New York Jets. Addy, one player that we know plucks on the old heartstrings for you, one of your favorite. This is like the Addy. I swear, Aaron's just pulling out like Adam's favorite late safety targets here. Jordan Whitehead is our breakout for New York Jets. 73 total tackles, 5 TFLs, and 2 picks. Graded very well, 74.9 for PFF. Overall defensive grade on 88% of snaps, averaging 10.8 points per game. Comes over from Tampa Bay, and all the buzz out of training camp has been super positive for Jordan Whitehead. I think we're looking at a guy who's going very late in drafts that is going to make people very happy when they put him into their IDP lineups, Addy.
Yeah, I mean, his ADP is also silly. He's pull that up while you can. But yeah, I mean, Jordan Whitehead is about to probably log definitely over 1,000 snaps. I mean, if you're looking at Marcus May and how many snaps he's had the last 3 years, it was 1,100 in 2019, 1,100 in 2020, and then he was churning that way before he tore his Achilles. So, I mean, I expect Whitehead to have career numbers pretty much across the board. New York gave him a pretty nice little contract, right? He was one of the highest-paid safeties this offseason. So Jordan Whitehead's really just entering his prime, I think.
I think the best is lays ahead for Jordan Whitehead.
No doubt.
And still getting a great discount on this player, Tripp. DB27, 31, 35, 31, 39, and 37. So going as a back-end DB3, high-end DB4.
Here's a fun little Jordan Whitehead stat for you. Last year, for safeties that had at least almost 250 run defense snaps, Jordan Whitehead had the lowest average tackle depth, 3 yards. That was better than everyone else. Kyle Duggar, Adrian Phillips, Jamal Adams, those are the next guys in line. So that tells you that guy was tackling guys pretty close to the line of scrimmage.
That's right, making plays.
Yep.
Not getting beat. Tripp, especially at that price, I'm imagining you have to be a Jordan Whitehead fan as well.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it'd be a disappointment if he didn't collect 100 tackles, assuming good health this year. He'll be playing near the line of scrimmage. The other thing that's interesting is right now the penciled in starter for the Jets at free safety is a guy named LaMarcus Joyner, who's like 31 years old.
Oh,
he's 5'9", 175, something like that. He's not playing near the line of scrimmage. So we can lock Jordan Whitehead in to help out these linebackers who really need the help. And if you watch that defense last night against the Falcons, yeesh.
Yeah.
They're going to be out there for a lot of snaps this year.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Jordan Whitehead, Bobo, especially if you're playing the grab your safeties late game mm-hmm. is right up there with Justin Reed as like a top target. For those late safety drafters.
I'm sorry, Josh. All I'm thinking about now is the Marcus Joyner.
Trying to think of
that was Rams. That was a Rams
what
guy.
Year it was the Rams franchise tagged him. So my apologies. In our best balls, Jordan Whitehead kind of averaging around that DB30 range, which is way too yes. far down.
That's. I mean, he's got a very good chance of being a top 12 safety this year.
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, really good chance. Yeah, man, I love Jordan Whitehead. I think Jordan Whitehead is probably my favorite target.
I think you might be planting a flag on him. Yeah. I'm just kind of getting
favorite
a,
overall
a
IDP
sense.
Target
at the safety spot. I just ooh. I lo- again with like when you're talking like DB 30 range. Like, I mean, this guy
here's
feels so safe.
Here's a good one for you. You ready?
Don't you Justin Reed or Jordan Whitehead him?
That's it.
I'm gonna do both.
Just both, nope. yeah. Just nope. snatch them both nope. up. Nope. Put me nope. at the turn and let me grab them both.
In Dynasty, who do you want?
Man, probably Justin Reed. I think I like Justin Reed a little better.
Joshy.
Probably Whitehead.
Trip?
Yeah, I'd take Whitehead, too.
I'll take Justin Reed.
All right, there you go. We're split. A player that we are not split on. I keep reading these names, and I'm like, did Adam actually prep this? And it just looked like it was Aaron prepping the doc. Because we have...
We are one now.
That's right.
Aaron, we love you, Aaron.
The hive mind and the mispronunciation of his name continues.
Hey, Rollins.
Another sleeper candidate in Trip. This was probably one of the most heartbreaking developments injury-wise from last season was Carl Lawson popping the Achilles after all of the great training camp hype. It sounds like he's back fully healthy because this injury happened about a year ago, so he's fully recovered. All of the reports out of training camp have been super positive. We don't even have to look at the numbers from 2020 because totally different situation. So I just want to get your temperature because while I like bringing you on, Trip, besides the amazing voice that could put us to sleep reading bedtime stories, mm-hmm. is that you bring a nice sense of realism to balance out our overly optimistic outlook sometimes. We love Carl Lawson. We think he's primed to have a great season. He's not going that late. I think he's been forgotten in drafts, so the value is still there. But what can we expect from Carl Lawson in this New York Jets defense, assuming that he is fully healthy?
No, if he's fully healthy, then that's pretty interesting. I think he has pretty good upside as a pass rusher. I think the challenge is, even a full health, is what does that rotation look like? You've got John Franklin Myers, Jermaine Johnson, the rookie first rounder. Jake Martin has been brought in as a free agent pass rusher. Seemed like they had one other pass rusher in my mind. Anyway, but it's a pretty deep rotation of guys. And so the really question is how much do they want to rely on Carl Lawson as a run defender? And is he a guy that can get 800 snaps, which is kind of what you want from your top end DLs? And I doubt it, especially coming off the Achilles, but if said, if you assume good health, I mean, the interesting pass rush upside. I think there's no reason to think that he can't get 8 sacks out there, which is it's just a nice number. But to expect him to say get 12 or something like that, that would be awfully optimistic. So I think he's another one of those guys who's kind of an interesting guy as a DL3 for me, and I don't know that I can get him that late.
Yeah, it's amazing. Trip, I know you mentioned, I think it was on the Big Nickel episode, you knew who Thanos was, and Robert Saleh now with this New York Jets team is like Thanos assembling the Infinity Stone. He's like, I just want all the defensive linemen. You mentioned Jacob Martin, Michael Clemens, the breakout from the preseason, also there. Vinnie Curry is there as well. You mentioned Jermaine Johnson, Bryce Huff, Jabari Zuniga, Bradley Anae. Mm. So these aren't necessarily guys that IDP managers need to know about. But Robert Saleh has come in and kind of taken the San Francisco 49ers approach of let's get probably one of the deepest defensive line rotations in the entire NFL. So I do think if there's a kink in the Carl Lawson kind of breakout season that we're hoping for, it would be this kind of rotational aspect of the Jets defensive line.
Yep. I agree.
Yeah. But don't forget, I mean, Carl Lawson, he was 6th in the NFL in pressures in 2020. That's always been his thing. He's always been phenomenal at getting pressures on the quarterbacks. And everything I'm reading this offseason is that he's fully recovered, looks amazing, looks again like the best player on the field. He seems motivated. He seems like he wants to be great. I hope it happens for him, man.
Bobbo, are you with us on the Carl Lawson train, or are we waving bye to you as we zoom past?
Oh, man, I enjoy it. I mean, the Achilles is still worrisome. Shout out to Lauren. Something we've talked about a bunch. Achilles worries me in defensive line and in running backs because there's just so much pushing off of that Achilles. But if he's healthy, if he's performing in camp, I know everybody wants to go ahead and say that Cam Akers is completely healthy and that he has completely changed the Achilles game. And maybe he has. Maybe we'll see that this year, that the way that they fuse that Achilles together in that different way is maybe a new wave for, you know, these athletes that have torn Achilles. But, you know, at his ADP, where Carl's going, I'm on board.
Yeah, yeah. What is he going at?
I was
going
to say, I remember seeing him late in a lot of our best ball drafts. So he's going as DL52, oh DL50, DL56, 54, 45, so 50. He's,
it's just one of those deals where the guy missed the whole year. Everyone forgets about him.
He gets buried in the ADP.
Yeah, and also the same thing, the Achilles narrative, you know. But, I mean, Carl Lawson, if I'm going to bet on someone fully recovering, I'm going to bet on a dude like Carl Lawson because that dude has – I mean, this Achilles tear ain't nothing new for Carl if you've been following along. He's torn his ACL twice, I think.
Yep.
You're not going to be able to hold this dude down.
The dude can overcome some adversity, and that's why we love him. That's why we're proud of him.
We do need to mention Michael Clemens. That guy, oh, my Lord, what a specimen. I think he had 7 pressures on 20 pass rush attempts his first preseason game. I mean, just listen to the guy. Look at the guy. Once you do that, you will be running to your waivers to pick this guy up. All in.
All in. That's all it took, Tripp, was 7 pressures and a nose ring. And really fun.
A really deep voice.
Yeah, really deep voice. Commanding presence at the press conference. We're all in. But let's move to the AFC West. Talk about the Denver Broncos and kick things off with a linebacker who has one less teammate to worry about since Joe Schobert was essentially the Grandpa Simpson gif walking in the strip club and walking right back out. Cut today by the Denver Broncos, leaving the unquestioned breakout for the Denver Broncos.
I had Josie Jewell down here, and really the only reason why is because he missed most of last year with an injury. He was re-signed at a 2-year, $11 million contract. It's, I think, pretty safely and clearly going to wear the green dot and be the defensive play caller. Now, he's not the best linebacker in the history of the NFL, but got guys like Alex Singleton and like you said, Joe Schobert was there for a week and he's gone again. So I don't really think there's any real threat to him. I think one person suggested, well, what about Jonas Griffith? That would be nice if Jonas Griffith had stayed healthy and we could have seen. But I think with the elbow injury that will sideline him through at least the end of the preseason, there's really no threat at all to Josie Jewell. I feel like he's a free square. I saw one mock draft, the results get posted onto Twitter a couple months ago, and Josie Jewell was the 60th linebacker off the board, and no Denver Bronco linebackers were picked ahead of him, which I thought was really interesting. Now, Singleton typically is. So it's somebody's got to tackle the ball carrier in Denver. I think that they're paying the man who they expect to do it.
I was going to say, I was like, LB60, that's crazy. LB58, LB58, LB61, LB72. Yep. So if you're wondering, is Josie Jewell still being slept on, despite the fact that he has Justin Sternad and not much else there with the Jonas Griffith injury? Addie, I think Josie Jewell has to be one of the best late targets at linebacker. And if you're looking to shore up that position or maybe punt linebacker a little bit and focus on other positions, man, he is a screaming value right now.
It's crazy to me. I'll read you a tweet that I wrote on May 11th. I'm going to bet Josie Jewell is the Denver LB you want for IDP. Was starting last year before getting hurt, and Denver brought him back on a 2-year, $11 million deal. Every beat reporter thinks Jewell is the LB1. Thread. This is before threads were freaking hot.
Oh, gosh.
His competition, Baron Browning. We already know about that. 2021 third-round pick, but lots of chatter about using him more as an edge rusher. That happened. Jonas Gray, 2020 UDFA. Looks solid in final games of 2021. Alex Singleton, 1-year, $1.1 million deal with like hardly any guaranteed, if I remember right.
And was putrid terrible. In the grading. I think you saw John Macri's screenshot of the PFF grades.
Justin Sternad, a 2020 fifth-round pick. And then, like I mentioned, with the value, best part of all this, it won't cost you anything if it doesn't work out. He was LB53, LB70, and undrafted in the three IDP best balls we had done at that point. And then, like, Browning, Singleton, Griffith, all those guys were going ahead of Josie Jewell. It just made zero sense. But, yeah, I mean, that's just free money. Josie Jewell was one of my favorite picks. And he still is. I mean, he still is. Even though the ADP and people have caught up now, he still is going like LB30, LB40. Like, yes, I will totally say that dude has a very good shot at getting 130, 140 tackles this year.
Absolutely. If I was reading that thread, I would have retweeted the first tweet because I had learned something that
only,
day.
Only four retweets. So
wow,
everyone loves to sleep on your boy out here, but that's okay. We don't need the Twitter love.
No, it was just they hadn't caught up to the thread game yet. The thread game wasn't quite what it is.
14
now.
Likes. People did enjoy it.
Yeah, that's okay.
It was an okay tweet.
Yeah, it was okay. It wasn't a banger. Bobo, Josie Jewell. I don't know what else we can really say about the guy other than still being criminally undervalued and should vastly outperform where he's being drafted.
Let me read you these PFF numbers.
Oh, please do.
Overall grade, 80.9. Run defense grade of 90.3. Pass rush grade of 68. Coverage grade of 63. You know who this is?
Who's that?
Alexander Johnson.
Oh, AJ Johnson.
I don't understand why he's still out there. That doesn't make sense to me.
I've got him on the main roster at about $5 million in RSO, and I'm really hoping that guy lands somewhere.
That's the same. I am still clinging on to him in quite a few spots.
It would make a lot of sense for them to bring him back, especially after the Schobert cut.
There's got to be something we don't know there.
Yeah.
I mean, they know that dude's out there as well.
Yeah.
You know, they just brought in Joe Schobert. Something
doesn't smell right.
That's true. But, yeah. Josie Jewell, he's going to put some points up for you this year. And
dude, there's those dudes every single year, man. He fits the bill.
And, you know, that's something that's just not fun. It's not fun to plug and play, you know, Josie Jewell. It's fun to play like
I'm having a great time drafting that dude.
Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons.
Jim and Davis. Hey, Kenneth awesome Murray.
I guarantee you people were having a blast last year playing Denzel Perryman. Nothing better than drafting dudes like that.
Than just getting that just
I'm
like,
saying preseason.
The old Week guy four, at the YMCA like, hey. Who's just posting dudes up and putting up 40.
I'll be honest, man. Josie Jewell, he's sexy, in my opinion. I don't get the hate or just the blinders on with this guy.
I really think what it is that in his second year, he played less than he did in his first year.
Yeah.
If you don't have that steady career trajectory, people lose interest. They figure you're a flawed player. Mm-hmm. Players can simply get better. And the linebacker, you often get pressed into service, even if you're not ready. And he's finally earned his keep now.
Yeah. I mean, they showed they like him. I mean, they gave him, you know, just look at the contracts. That's always a nice little cheat code for you, too, if you're trying to figure out the depth chart and how it's going to shake out. Just look at the contracts. And Josie Jewell's making about $10 million more than every other linebacker there.
I hate this next one, Tripp, because I'm pretty sure I've dropped this guy in a couple leagues. But no. I can't wait to hear your defense of him. I really liked him, but it was just one of those ones where it's like, hey, I got to cut somebody.
Yeah.
So you're next out. Up, a sleeper from the Denver Broncos. Who do you have, Tripp?
DJ Jones, a defensive tackle. This is a guy, it's kind of a long story to relevance, and it's definitely a DT required special. It's not as interesting as Nichols or Sebastian Joseph Day was, but just an interesting player in the way his kind of career arc has been. We mentioned earlier on the pod about there are these interior disruptors. And they're the kind of the designated interior disruptors. Well, there's typically two defensive tackles on the field at one time. So one of those guys must not be the designated interior disruptor. So what's he doing? Well, he's eating blocks for the guy who is. And so DJ Jones had a career eating blocks for DeForest Buckner for a couple of years. And then they drafted Javon Kinlaw, the 49ers, to replace Buckner. And Kinlaw has not really emerged yet. So meanwhile, DJ Jones started making some hay on his own. And he's gotten a big free agent contract now to go to Denver. And he replaces Shelby Harris. And what's interesting there is Shelby Harris kind of did the same thing where he, when he was younger, he was eating blocks for guys. And finally, about 28 years old, he started to break out. And Shelby Harris had two seasons of six sacks in 2018. And or was it 2019 and 2021, I think. And so Harris is gone and DJ Jones replaces him. And this is also a defense that provides we've talked about this with Joseph Bass, pretty good tackle opportunities in the middle of it. It's Ejiro Eviro Jiro Evero is the defensive coordinator, and he is a Fangio disciple. So I don't think the defense will change radically from what it's been. And so I think that it's another guy where DJ Jones is a tackle four. He had 56 last year. He could get more this year. Will is a decent tackle four. He's shown a little juice in the pass rush, and he's a guy that's free that you can get, and he might be the guy that and you end up, you know, like the tight end on the offense, that analogy, where you take a light tight end, you take a light defensive tackle, and he might be the guy you leave in there all year.
I love it, Eddie. Trip had 8 guys to prep for the AFC West, and he chose 3 defensive tackles. Yeah, it's fantastic. Like, I love this. I'm not saying this with any sort of hate. It is incredible because this is a position that gets overlooked.
Yeah.
Sort of like Johnny the Greek with his streaming quarterbacks article. You're looking for little edges. Mm-hmm. And finding these guys like Bilal Nichols, like Sebastian Joseph Day, like DJ Jones is incredibly valuable because they can offer you that tiny bit of upside that you need to win your matchups week to week. So I'm all about it. I'm here for the D-tackle renaissance on the 100%, IDP show.
Man, they're so hard to find that anyone giving advice or, you know, going in depth with guys like that, yeah, you should be all ears. And these are great candidates. I mean, Trip opened my eyes up to Bilal Nichols through the draft kit. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we obviously trust Trip, so I will certainly be looking at these fellas.
Yeah, because it is a blind spot for me of, like, I'm usually just going to pay the high price for one of the top defensive tackles because I really don't want to wade into the waters of trying to grab the D-tackles 6 through 12 on the season, you know? Mm-hmm. That's a tough area to pin down.
And really, you know, we're – the only league that I use defensive tackles in, and this may lower our street cred a little bit, but that's RSO, and we just start one in there. So, I mean, it's not an area where I have to worry about, you know, too much. I don't play a lot of MFL. I play a lot of sleeper, which is going to probably make you not really focus on defensive tackles that much. But it is nice to touch on these guys.
Tripp, are you buying into the Baron Browning hype?
For Dynasty, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, it's one of those situations where it's a deep rotation, where it's just a big mess, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I think Browning's interesting. He showed enough at inside linebacker that you have to think that he's got some juice to play pass rush.
Yeah.
It's not like he was a bust at inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking a guy out of a position where he showed competence and moving him outside, you must really think he has some upside if you're that coaching staff. So, yeah, I'm interested. And you got, you know, who's this competition? There are people who like Malik Reed. I don't know why.
Yeah.
There's Bradley Chubb, who has not lived up to the first top, was a fourth overall billing.
Sure.
It's just, you got
Randy Gregory.
Jonathan Cooper was up there last year. It's just kind of a big mess this year. And so, I mean, does he even have DL eligibility on sleeper?
He is dual in sleeper.
Wow. He is now.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. I thought he was. Yeah.
There you go.
So that's awesome.
Yeah, if you can get him as like your DL5, he's kind of an interesting piece in the end to see if he breaks up.
He's that kind of camp hype that's why you plug in. That's the kind of camp hype you need to pay attention to, in my opinion.
And it is kind of interesting with Baron Browning because once we heard that news, I think everyone was kind of like, oh man, I wanted him to be a linebacker. I was hoping he'd be a tackle guy. But honestly, like, this probably saved his value. Like, he's an interesting piece now. He's a much more interesting piece now than he was.
Mm-hmm. But let's wrap up here, Trip. Sometimes with these divisional previews, I always feel bad because we go out with, like, the Atlanta Falcons, and it's, like, the worst possible defense to put a bow on our divisional previews. But we're ending things in the AFC East with the team that Deontay Lee from The Athletic called the best defense in the NFL this season. It's the Buffalo Bills. And we are talking about a couple players here. We can kind of package these guys together because it was interesting. He mentioned Deontay Lee that this defensive line is so solid across the board that if you look at just like our lads, they're kind of second string guys. That could be a starting defensive line for a lot of teams. And you'd be like, okay, I wish they were a little better, but that's pretty solid. And that's their second string defensive line. And they mentioned Ed Oliver there in the middle, one of the sleepers that we've had. We've mentioned a lot of defensive tackles, so let's throw another one in the mix. We've got Ed Oliver as a sleeper, but he did mention that the linebacking core was something that if this defense does have a weakness, quote-unquote, it is the linebacking core, and that makes sense. We have Tremaine Edmonds as a bust. Trip, I want to start with Edmonds. Dynasty, the dude is still somehow like 20 years old. Do we have hope that maybe in a new situation that Edmonds could recoup some of this dynasty value, or do we just need to recalibrate expectations for what he is at this point?
Well, I think he could recoup some value this year. I don't think he's ever going to be the first round pick. We've seen an awful lot of teams burn first round picks on linebackers and really not get value out of it. So long-term, it's hard to say, but I think that he has a chance to rebound this year. And is it enough that he decided to bring him back? We'll just have to see. But what I think is interesting about the D tackles, and when you brought him up, we've got to talk about them. And I won't mention Oliver yet. The reinforcements they brought in at nose tackle. They have Daquan Jones and Tim Settle and Jordan Phillips. And I feel like that the whole defense, especially the linebackers, played better when a guy named Star Lotulelei was on the field. And people are like, who the heck is that guy? Well, he was this 33-year-old nose tackle that's a two-down player out there eating space and keeping linebackers clean. And the whole defense functioned better when he was able to hold the point of attack. And you saw this, if anybody tries to imagine this, there was a Monday night game where the Bears played and Akeem Hicks got hurt. And as soon as he got hurt, the whole team got blown off the ball and the slot quarterback, Buster Screen, got 12 tackles because they were getting destroyed up the middle. And the effect at Buffalo wasn't as extreme, but I think that the significance of bringing all these reinforcements at nose tackle will really help Edmonds. And I don't know that from an IDP standpoint, he's going to be better. I mean, he's a guy that gets roughly 110, 120 tackles a year, and you can't really expect him to do more. But I think as a player and a performer, I think he'll be helped by these reinforcements. So if we're calling him a bust for IDP, it's because he's not going to get 140 tackles. Fine. But as a long-term stash, I mean, I wouldn't just dump him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Addy, who are you? Are you high on Ed Oliver? Are we finally going to see this potential realized, or is it just going to be more of the tease?
Yeah, I love Ed Oliver. He was really coming on last year. But yeah, I mean, I think, defensive tackle, you got to be patient. But Ed Oliver has certainly flashed. I mean, he is a force out there. And that defense has just gotten much better on the front. A lot of nice young guys. I mean, You've just added Von Miller and Greg Rousseau has his second year coming up. Yeah, I mean they need to feature those studs that they have, and I think they will. I like Ed Oliver a lot. He's a great discount. I've been targeting him in those best balls. He's someone that I try and get on basically all my teams. But yeah, I think that we're about to see a breakout year from Ed Oliver.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just wanted to see where Tremaine Edmonds was going in some of these best balls, which is essentially redraft since this is just kind of a one-year thing. Still going around like LB 20 to 24.
Wow.
Except for one league where he was taken as LB 80. So
LB 80?
Yeah, I don't. That must have been, I don't know, we might have gotten the ADP wrong on that one because that doesn't seem right. Yeah, but all the other ones, yeah, he was coming in right around that back end LB 2, which is just, it's too rich.
Yeah, but here's with Edmonds, I guess we kind of hate on him because he hasn't really done what we thought he would do. I guess we expected him to be like a Roquan or
if he was drafted in like the fourth round, Tremaine Edmonds would be one of our favorite players.
Exactly right. Yeah, because I mean, think about how many busts there's been so far in just in the last few years. I mean, we talked about Kenneth Murray earlier, but I mean, this dude has racked up what, like, probably over 400 tackles in his first 4 years. I mean, that's pretty solid. I mean, it's pretty hard to find guys that get on the field that much that early, let alone produce like that. I think you just have to temper your expectations. I mean, if Tremaine Edmonds is your linebacker, even if he's your linebacker two, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Linebacker three, yes, we love that.
That's ideal.
I still love Matt Milano more. Yes, I still prefer him at ADP. Mm-hmm. But Tremaine Edmonds, I mean, the hate is probably a little excessive at this point. I mean, we could see him. We could really easily see him have his best year for IDP yet.
The other thing I really like about Tremaine Edmonds, too, is this is his last year under contract. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Which is going to be interesting to see. I've even seen a little bit in the offseason where he's working a little bit more in like the big play department because he does nothing in the big play department. Yep. No sacks, no fumbles forced, no interceptions, no nothing. He gets tackles. That's pretty much it. It would be nice to see a couple splash plays from time to time. But, yeah, man, if he doesn't perform this year, I don't know that the Bills would bring him back. It looks like they're probably going to let him test free agency, but I kind of like that from an IDP perspective, at least for this year.
Same. Yeah, I mean, with it's almost like that Buffalo defense is too good.
Yeah.
It's going to limit his he's going to have his snaps limited probably.
Yeah, because those safeties are healthy. Poyer and Hyde ate last year. And the last couple of years, Poyer's been really, really good. So, you're right. That D could be the best in the NFL this
just
year.
Just getting him out of there. Getting him on a shittier team.
Yeah, exactly.
With less competition. That's always good.
People are forgetting Russo, too. That's another name that needs to be brought up. I think Russo's falling way too far in a lot of these drafts. Because everybody's so worried about the usage. He didn't play much last year. You know, they brought in Von Miller, but I think it's pretty much going to be Russo and Von Miller from the jump.
Yeah, Greg Rosenthal said that today. Russo is locked in opposite Von Miller.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Let's
go. As the opposite edge. I will say, listening to a lot of these podcasts, they are very high on Terrell Bernard, who was I believe, third-round pick. Mm-hmm. And, the third-round pick there. And I think what it was, too, was that we just saw we wanted Tremaine Edmonds to be the dynasty LB1 based on the draft capital, based on the landing spot, based on the fact he was 6'5", 250 pounds, and ran a 4.54 40, 90th percentile, had a 97th percentile speed score. This dude was just he checked all the boxes.
Had dreads.
Exactly. Dreads and a visor, right? That's like mm-hmm. two-thirds of the Tom Kissingberry quadrant for like if he had just had a cool name, you know, then he would have been right up there and checked all three boxes. But I think that's part of the sting that we feel because if we had just recalibrated our expectations going in, I think we'd view him a lot differently. But he's still being drafted a little high, and I think that's why we are justified in saying, hey, if you're taking him in this range, mm-hmm. you're taking him at his ceiling.
Yep.
Like, I think a best-case scenario is Tremaine Edmonds finishing as the LB, like, 15. Mm-hmm. I just don't see a world in which he's a top 12 guy. I think I see him more in a healthy, optimistic season as like that LB 18 to 24
range. Like Bobby mentioned, you know, we have 4 years of him not getting any splash plays.
Exactly. I mean, and that's what hurts him.
If he's going to luck into that in year five, okay. But I doubt it.
That's an interesting name, Josh, because they actually have an out for Matt Milano after 2022 as well. I don't see them moving on from both of those guys.
But they could.
But they could
go grab someone in the draft. Yeah,
Milano gets hurt again, you know. They're just like, oh, what's this dude's deal?
Was it A.J. Klein who came in and ate a couple years ago when Milano was hurt?
Yeah, very like Troy Reader-esque.
But
yeah.
The Bills definitely know they're in a window. Like, that's why they went and got Von Miller. They got a young rookie quarterback right now.
You keep calling these guys rookies, and it's really throwing me for a loop.
It's 11:22.
Yeah. So let's wrap.
It's not a rookie contract. Didn't they extend Josh?
They did. Yeah.
So he got a new deal.
Yeah. So he'll be a rich. Yeah. They gave him like a ton of money, like $400 million
There's
or something.
A lot of people getting money.
Lamar hasn't gotten paid yet.
No, he has not.
Wonder what the time frame is. Didn't he say there was going to be a cutoff?
Yeah. Start of the season.
Is it really?
Yeah. Start of the season, week one. I think he gets paid. I really do. He has looked so drippy on the sidelines. Yeah, it's been insane. He is an absolute drip lord.
He's gotten a little thick too, boy.
He's a thick boy. Yeah. I think he's about to set the. We'll do like Super Bowl like predictions and like division winners and all that. Probably on the flag plant episode.
You like the Ravens, huh?
I'm picking the Ravens as my Super Bowl champ.
I like what they're doing too.
Wow.
Yep.
They got the perfect like pass catchers for what Lamar likes to do.
Mm-hmm. Very likely.
I think we're about to see, a Lamar Jackson MVP level season.
You do it.
So
he did it.
All right, Tripp, my friend, you have come on and said it all, and we appreciate you hanging in there with us for an hour and 50 minutes. You brought the goods. You brought the D-tackle goodness, especially for the fine folks at home who maybe aren't as familiar with your work. Tell us, where can we find you on Twitter, and what's the plan for football guys in season? What are you going to be working on over there?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Dynasty Trip, and the latest thing I've been working on is just something I've been thinking about doing for years, and I don't know why I just didn't do it. I think I was hoping to put out something that was just super smooth and all spiffed up with a nice article to go with it, and I just scrapped it. I just said, I'm just going to put this stuff on a table and float it up there like a trial balloon on Twitter. And it's just a little safety box tracker to see who's playing what position, so the folks at home can find it. And there's a couple of typos in there now that I got to fix, and I'll post it as a Google Doc eventually, so that people can kind of track safety position battles and deployments, because I think that folks really don't know which safety is the deep guy which is the box guy, and which teams are running two high versus one high. And all those things tend to influence value for IDP. So that's what I'm doing right now. As far as in-season of football guys, I'm writing a weekly article of some kind, and hopefully keeping up with how players are being deployed and why players are performing or not performing, because I think that sometimes that gets lost. People had Buda Baker, and they didn't know if he was going to bounce back or not last year, because they didn't know how his deployment had changed. And so I'd like to tackle that this year.
Eddie, my favorite part of Tripp's chart was that it was color-coded, and I could just picture Tripp like, all right, the Pantone for the Indianapolis Colts, I'm like a few shades off. Like, I need to find that right color blue.
Hey, he done something right, because that thing got a lot of retweets and likes, and that's all that matters.
That's true. Tripp is nothing if not obsessed with
the
metrics.
What did those analytics look like, Tripp? Do you mind sharing those with us?
I haven't looked at it a bit, but I got about 10 or 15 times the love of my usual stuff.
Oh, so. I bet it got a lot of impressions.
Code. It's the color code.
Damn good looking tweet. I'd love to learn from you.
You put the work in on color matching these teams, and it's gonna pay off.
All sure. I could hear in that was Tripp saying, you know, this is something I've been thinking about for 4 or 5 years, something I've really wanted to do, and I've started an OnlyFans. I'm jumped in.
You know Tripp doesn't know what OnlyFans is. Don't do that to him. But I look forward, Tripp, because the stuff at Football Guys I'm so excited about. And because I think a lot of times we see guys not performing. We're like, well, I guess this guy sucks now. Or I guess this guy got hurt. Or I guess the coaching staff doesn't like this guy. And the part that we miss out on is the scheme. And so what I've always appreciated is that you've made that stuff really actionable and brought that insight for the more casual IDP manager who maybe isn't looking at that as the explanation. So I look forward to that work in season. And thank you again for coming on to the show. You're going to be part of our preview teams this season. So we look forward to having you back in the IDP show feed coming up. But we know it's past midnight, approaching 1 a.m. your time, Tripp. So we'll get you out of here. We love having you on the show, man, and look forward to having you on in season. But folks, stay tuned. The season is coming ever closer. We got week 3 of the preseason going to be cranking up here in the next few days. We've got John Macri and Gary Davenport next week with my guys, and our flag plants coming the week after that. And then we are in with the preview episodes, and the wheel just keeps on turning. Football is almost here. We are looking forward to it. Until next time, y'all take care, and we'll see you soon.
In your life. Should've